Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas Radio Network. Today's date is September 6, 2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is
620-878-4682.
And an emergency, my cell phone number is
316-619-4886.
And if you haven't figured it out yet, I have my lovely wife, Linda, here with me. She likes to be called Sister Linda, but she's not my sister. She's my wife. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply
prophecyhour.com.
Why'd you have to read that?
Because I was reading the comments on the
But you're not supposed to be reading the other stuff. You're supposed to be okay, folks, we'll get through it somehow. Anyway, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube, and it's on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free, and Messiah's Branch sells nothing, so we're only on the air due to your kind donations. Now, let's thank our listener bases that is worldwide in places like
Frankfurt, Germany, Southampton, UK, Madrid, Spain, Sydney,
Australia,
Tulsa, Oklahoma, and a good old USA, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Aurora, Illinois, Boston, Massachusetts, Corpus Christi, Texas, and this week, Tulsa, Oklahoma, did Wichita, Kansas as our largest group of listeners, which podcast.
You know, one thing people hate on radio is being read to.
Well, then you should do your regular thing.
Well, you know, it's just if you're gonna read,
because you read to them every time you're on radio.
No, not necessarily. Those are there for a reminder to me in case I flub up. I know all by heart, but that isn't the point. The point is, I'm just saying, do it with a little more enthusiasm. Anyway, follow and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. And I do realize you have to do some reading on radio. Anyway, dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio night goes according to your will, not ours, Father. And give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, folks, tonight we're going to talk about Bible prophecy again. And I stumbled across a site called New to Torah, which pointed out some things in a pretty amazing video last night. Things that I already knew and some I hadn't put together or really hadn't thought of that way. But to bring it off, though, we're going to start off with a song from Brother Ben. And this one will point to what direction we're taking. So let's hear the Brother Ben song first.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
Then the days of Noah keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought. telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen. The devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. Some just think of money and how to get some more. But little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever damned. If you want to put your trust in wealth, you've lots to fear. For the distant thunders are rumbling and the storm is almost here. You must put your trust in Jesus, for he's our today. When the storm of darkness comes, in him you will be saved. Yes, the spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen. The devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find.
Well, folks, that was a song by Brother Ben McKnight. He used to have a ministry called 70th Week Ministry. I have a DVD that he told me I could use for the benefit of ministry many years ago. It's called from Remnant. He calls it Remnant, the End Time Band, and he's some really good songs. But anyway, that was about Noah. So, Mom, Linda, what do you think about? Do you think people still believe that there's Noah's flood?
There are some that believe it, but they're starting to teach now in the schools that all the Bible stories are fables, support fairy tales.
Right, okay. But they've been teaching that for a very long time. You know, that's just with evolution and everything else. So it's safe to say, just from your normal point of view, you'd think that most people don't really believe the Bible's true, right?
A lot of people don't. Yeah, a lot of people think it was just written by man.
Right, and so that's what you call a scoffer. We're going to have you read something in a minute, but folks, and yeah, I even did the research just before I came on just to see what it'd say. And most people, we're focusing on Noah and the biblical flood right now. And, you know, scientists are saying, no, it couldn't have happened, and so many people. And in fact, Gallup says this about the Bible. It says, over the past three decades, Americans' view of the Bible is that the literal word of God has been declining, while their view is the Bible is a collection of fables, myths, and history recorded by man has been increasing. The shift is pronounced among young adults, indicating the trend is likely to accelerate in the years ahead. Now, that means that backed up what you said among the young people, because the schools, that's what they're teaching them, and that's why they're so unruly. Americans in all large groups still accept the Bible as a holy document, but downplay God's direct role in it. And so, in other words, it's fables, and it's not really what it says. So what we have is what the Bible calls scoffers coming in the end time. And I'm going to point something out to you that points to the end time. I was going to have you read this, but I guess, anyway, this is 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll stop you when I get you where I want you to be.
The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and both which I stir up in your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue, and they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that the word of Yahweh, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. By the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of unholy men, ungodly men.
Okay. So, basically, what we're having is talking about evilness coming upon the world and people walking after their own lusts and their own desires and being contrary to the Word of God, saying things have went on just like it always was. But they, it says that they forget the Word of God, that that the world was flooded by water, and that that remembrance, which is even now put into, you know, we still have the sign of the covenant, which is what?
The sign of the covenant?
What, you know, of the flood covenant?
The rainbow.
The rainbow, right. That's what I wanted, the sign of the covenant.
You threw me off for a minute.
Well, I didn't mean
what? What are you talking about?
Okay.
Yeah, it's the rainbow.
Right, but, you know, the homosexual group, they adopted it for them, and, you know, these things are an abomination. The Father doesn't take them slight. This is like a, you know, I'm not saying he's got a check pad, but he might as well have, because he's marking them off, you know, of all the abominations. But what
it's
would you...
standard for the devil to take everything good and make turn it evil. I mean, he's did that to all the holy days. Everything the Lord does, he tries to outdo with his evilness. And so it stands to reason that he would do that.
Right. Amen. So, but here we're having, the Second Peter is pointing to a time that they would specifically, one of the things that they would forget about or they would deny is the flood.
Right.
What did I just talk?
Because the world's turning back into even worse than it was before he flooded it. So why would they admit that there was a flood?
Well, let's come back up. But what I'm trying to point to, of course, I agree with all that. But what I'm pointing to is prior to these last generations, and it's getting worse all the time, most people that you walked out into the street, if you went out 20 years ago and started asking people, was there a Noah's flood, they'd say yes. Most predominantly, most people would say yes, unless, and you would find more people that would say yes than no. But in the time of the end, when this is pointing to, you would have the opposite. That's what we have. So what I'm pointing out here is the fact that this points to the age that we're in, that we're absolutely in that. Now, but then, you know, it also goes on. It says the Father wanted them to remember that so that they would remember that, yes, he's going to come back and judge. And then we'll go on and see what will happen then. But so pick it back up at 6, even though you read before. Read here at 6.
Whereby the world was then, that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to upward, not willing that any one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Stop. Now, you also, you have a church out here, mainstream. Now, we're talking about the Western church. This, and in fact, churches overseas have told them, have said, I wish your missionaries wouldn't preach the rapture when they come over here, because you know, they say, well, you're going to fly out before anything bad happens. But, and then they say, and they always say that, well, the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night. But they just break off the sentence, because let's look at the whole sentence. But it, the day of the Lord, the day will come as a thief in the night, asterisk, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall burn, will melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are in shall be burned up. Okay. If he's, the way they have it is they believe that he'll come as a thief in the night and snatch everybody out, and then 7 years later, then he returns. That's not what that said. It says he'll coming as a thief in the night means it'll be a surprise to him, but it'll be a surprise like you're sitting here and all of a sudden there's a boom outside and everything changes in an instant.
And it'll be a blink of an eye. Everything will go boom and it'll be done.
Well, it'll be
it'll be working.
Right, yeah.
It'll be undoable. How's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it'll be undoable. Yeah, there's much. We aren't going to go into to real deep, but I've really got the next one that I'm going to tell you about, and I'm going to wait till after break to tell you about this one, is only proof, and I'm probably going to get my wife to gross out on the next one, but I'm going to go on with this one. Okay, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Okay, but it says it's going to happen with a great noise and things are going to melt away. Okay, now go ahead, 11, because we're going to finish this out. I don't believe in just reading part. Go ahead.
Seeing then that all things shall be dissolved, that the manner of persons ought be in all holy conversations and goodliness, looking for
godliness,
looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of Yahweh, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, accordingly to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelt righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, or as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable rest, and they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Yeshua Messiah. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Okay, let's back up here. It says, now then, it says, also in all his epistles, speaking into them these things in which are some things are hard to understand, which are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. The other scriptures, the only scriptures that they had at that time, of course, was the Torah.
Right.
So what he's pointing out here is that people are basically determining those on their own.
They're picking the scriptures that fit their life and discarding all the rest.
Right. They're doing what the Word says. The Word of God is not open to private interpretation, and that's what they're doing.
Right.
And so many, especially the mainstream Christian church, tries to do away with the Torah and the first books, by which those define the New Testament. The New Testament has to be understood by the Old Testament. You know, there are a lot of things that are in the New Testament that are just merely summaries, if you will, of things in the Old Testament, just like Revelation. Revelation is basically a summary of everything the prophets, including Moses and everybody else, has said all the way through the Torah. But they combined it was combined together to John in one vision. But the point is these things are all recorded prior, because the Father said he knows that he gave us the end from the beginning. What?
It's like a shadow picture. Everything repeats itself.
Well, right. What we meaning like a shadow picture is that in the Old Testament, some of the things that she even said there's nothing new under the sun. The things look like or similar to things that would happen later on. But absolutely, in some things, though, in the intestines, aren't even what you call shadow. It's just prophecy. Like this is, this isn't a shadow. This is prophecy. This is a direct thing in that time.
Right.
This is
things
the way
that hadn't happened that were projected to happen that are happening now.
Well, this is what was given to Peter, and Peter gave it to people, said in the end times, this is the way it
happen.
Will be.
And it's happening, people.
Yeah, absolutely. So you say, this is the way it'll be. And it's getting worse and worse than that. But people want, you know, they would say, well, how do you know now is the end time? Things have always been bad. Well, there's lots of ways to know. And the one that I'm going to give you when we come back from break, folks, I guarantee you will probably gross my wife out. In fact, I don't have it up where she can spot it and read it until that time. And then we'll have her read part of it and we'll talk about it. But it's going to be really, really amazing. Anyway, we're coming up on break, folks, so you can go over at prophecyhour.com, check out the link to the Wichita Mission Church, and, of course, we encourage you, of course, to go over there and look around. But also radio, though. Don't forget about radio. If you send donations for Wichita Mission Church, please consider radio because airtime is just flat not free. So we're going to get out of here. We're going to go to break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin and my wife, Sister Linda, sitting in on me. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, I've told you that after break that this sign would surely gross my wife out. Now, shall we try it and see? Well, I think so. Okay, Mother, Mom, Linda, I want you to read from this. Now, Isaiah is commonly, many people, the book of Isaiah is a really great prophecy book because it's got practically the whole Bible, as it would seem, crammed into the book of Isaiah.
They call it the little Bible?
Yes, call it the little Bible. What'd you do, look on my sheet?
No, I just heard it. I'm 56 years old. I think I've heard that before.
Yeah, you probably heard me. Okay, anyway.
And I've lived with you 33 years. You don't think I've heard that before?
Thanks for reminding me. I think everybody needed to know that. Okay. Here, folks. Sorry.
Honey, that's half your life. Okay, you ready?
Over half my life.
Okay.
Pray for me, folks.
Isaiah 66.
Chapter 66.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and tremble at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offendeth oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer, and when I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out of my namesake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of the noise from the city, a voice of the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered a man-child who hath heard.
Okay, stop a second. Okay, folks, we're blowing up. Now, see, actually, that's all a little prior history. That was his people rebelling against him, and even their sacrifices weren't working out. And so he got mad, and he had dispersed Israel. But now he's talking about reconciling back. You know, so, okay, now a voice was heard from the city. Wait a minute.
It's on seven.
Okay. She travailed. Go there.
Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such of a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children.
Okay. Now, since Zion is Israel, you know, it's Jerusalem. And first he's going, who has heard such things? Shall the earth be made bring forth in one day? Yes, of course it did. And then, so the next thing is, so you can tell he's kind of like satire. Shall it be done in a day? Yes, of course it did. Okay. Or shall a nation be born at once? Yes, Israel was born at once, reborn. It came forth. Boom. You know, when it came back and became a nation. So now we're up into the time starting from 1948 on. So now let's go on up here. So now we're talking about the time of the end. Go back.
Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith the Lord, Yahweh? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her.
Okay, stop. So he's talking about all the people that mourn. He says, well, would I put you in travail, you know, birth pains, if I wasn't going to actually bring forth the baby? So again, it's kind of satire. He's saying, of course I would, you know, and so I did. I bore so that you that mourn for her, you'll be glad with her because she's came forth. Now then, go here.
That ye may suck and be satisfied with the beast, the breast of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be bent, and be dandled upon her knees. And one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem.
Okay, stop a second. It was talking about like a little baby would dangle as you know, being breastfed in joy. And so the father says, I'm gonna embrace you like they talk in Israel, and that is servants. Okay, now let's move on. When you see this,
your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire.
Now stop. Now remember in Second Peter a while ago, we talked about fire and everything at the time of the end, you know, that he would come back and do that. He just said the same thing.
Yeah.
See, so now this is Torah. Way back, this is in the Tanakh. It's not the Torah, it's in the prophets reading. But but Peter is in the New Testament. So, you know, my point is it's the same thing.
Right.
You know, but this is giving a more contrite, a bigger view of what he's saying. But we're getting up here to where it's going to gross you out here in a few minutes. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. By the fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouth, and it shall be consumed together, saith the Lord.
Stop. Okay, now we're going to hang on this a minute. Now, it says, so in that time, when he returns, he says they're going to purify them in the garden beyond one tree in the midst. In other words, it says they're going to be eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouth shall be consumed together. Now, that's eating something altogether. That's pretty detestable of the Lord, right?
Right.
Okay. So, let's go here. Meat and biro pig. He's a cleaner, greener, transgender pig.
Oh, no.
Now, pigs, the environmentalists, now remember now here in the time of the end, knowledge is increasing. They're playing God. They're grafting all kinds of things together. Okay? Now, I put before you, now, people before this could have ate some pig and you know, had a little mouse on the side, you know, and what about the abominable thing? What was that? But they could have, I guess, been eating them separately. But in this particular time of the end, listen to this. Now, this is an enviro pig, and I'm going to tell you some more about it in a minute. The enviro pig is created from a conventional Yorkshire pig by a pro-nuclear embryo. And anyway, I'm not going to read all that. People won't hear it. But anyway, the transgenic animal was created using a mouse model by the same group using E. coli. Now, E. coli look at me. E. coli is what's really it's abominable because, you know, it causes all kinds of sickness and it's a bad germ and it's E. coli is just bad, right?
Right.
Okay, so they combine E. coli and mouse genetics and E. coli genetics with a pig to make an environmental pig that the environmentalists will like so much better to do what with? What are you going to do with an environmental pig? Well, you're going to eat it. And right now, they because a lot of people raise cane, they put it back on the shelf, but it's fixing to come back out. And that's like the other foods that they're altering. You know, GMOs, they alter the crops. They change them, hybrids, and so on and so forth. But this is a hybrid. But look what it what did Isaiah just describe? It said that they would be eating the swine flesh, the abomination,
and the mouse.
And the mouse together.
Consumed
together.
Oh, my gosh, and they did it.
They did it. But this guy, you know, Isaiah that wrote this all those years ago, you think that, I'm sure he had no personal inkling of people combining those three together. But you understand, he talked of something that hadn't happened, but now it's in this time, in this absolute time, it's happening right now. It's happening right now. And so, you know, you got to be careful what you eat, but that isn't the point. Because this is pointing to the time of the end, and that's where we're at, folks. We are really in the time of the end. Now, we'll go ahead and read the rest of Isaiah here because there's some other things for us. Go ahead.
For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations to tarnish pole and lead, and that draw the bow and the tubal and the javan to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles.
Okay, stop. And so, you know, it also comes, there's a thing that's called the fullness of the Gentiles, and that it says that fact, you know, we're grafting among them, and, you know, but Israel would come back, and all the things would happen after the fullness of the Gentiles. Now, the Gentile nations are completely worldwide, of course. And, you know, the point is we are into the fullness of the Gentiles because there's only probably maybe one or two little scarce tribes of several people, in Amazon and a couple of places that have not heard the word of or had access to the gospel, but it, the word says that when all the world hears the gospel preached, then shall the end come. I mean, we're just a breath off of that, just a couple of breaths off of it, and they're closing in on those tribes all the time. You know, in fact, there's one tribe where they it's made its hit around the internet, shows one last tribe guy in the Amazon that's all left after his whole tribe was wiped out, and he's never had contact. We're talking like one person. And the pygmies are even being let out by somebody that we know are being let out of the wilderness, and she ministers the gospel to them. So there's very, very few places on the whole planet that has not heard the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach. You know, where do they accept it or reject it, if that's the point. But so we're talking about, it says, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And yes, that has come forth. Okay. Also, yeah, I'll jump right onto that. Okay, but you know, we also find out, well, I'm going to skip over to something else. Here in Deuteronomy, you know, it talks about, and I'm going to just have to tell the folks, in Deuteronomy 4, we find that it gives a thing called the blessings and the curses. We just read it at church not long ago. And the blessings and the curses, a lot of people say, well, that's a lot of old stuff, but you know, it says, yeah, he's going to bless Israel and so on and so forth if they come back and if they do this. Well, it was a prophecy, and it happened. They were dispersed, and all the things that Moses said had happened to Israel would happen to Israel. But it also says, though, in the end of things, it says, when thou art in tribulation, these things come upon thee, then in the latter days, if thou wilt turn to Yahweh thy God, that and be obedient to his voice, for Yahweh thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of which thy father spoke unto them. For as now in the days that are past, which are before thee, since the day Yahweh created man upon the earth, ask one side of heaven to the other, whether they have seen any such thing as this great thing, or hath heard it. It's going on, and it talks about that if they will just humble themselves, that if Israel humble themselves and go back to love of the Torah, you know, his commandments and his statutes, and the reason I'm paraphrasing, because there's a whole bunch of places where it talks about it, I ain't going to have time to go into it, but it talks about them in the end time that they will want to, they'll crave the Torah again, and that's what they're doing. You know, there is what you call revival of Jews wanting the Torah, and there is even a whole slew of Jews in Israel that are now accepting Yeshua, which the preponderance, the most of them, will accept Yeshua at his return. They'll accept him as their Lord and Savior, because they will call upon him because they'll need him to save them. But my point is, though, there's a bigger thing. The bigger thing is that in Romans chapter 11, talking about us, now it says, it says that Romans chapter 11, I say unto them, have they stumbled, should they fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Well, okay, some of Israel was broken off because of disbelief, but we were grafted in. If you read all of Romans 11, which we don't have time to do, if you read all of Romans 11, it talks about us being grafted in among them. And when we get grafted in among, if you get grafted in among an olive tree, you become the olive tree, right?
Right.
Okay, so the same way we become Israel, okay? All right, so now being grafted in with Israel, and in the end times, Israel would see a call back to Torah, so to speak, and to his statutes and his ways. What are you seeing among the Gentiles that are Christian, that are grafted in? What are you starting to see?
They're becoming more Torah observant.
They're becoming Israel, because if you're grafted in and you became Israel, then the prophecy that says that Israel will go back, will crave Torah in the end time, should happen to those that are grafted in.
Right.
Right. what's happening?
They're craving Torah worldwide.
They're craving Torah all over the world. And, you know, that's a fact. They're craving Torah all over the world. And it comes from, and let's see if I've got that real quick. Yeah. Okay, here we go. I want you to read this. And this is from Zechariah 8:20. It starts, this is 8:20. Go ahead, read this.
8:22. Right. Thus says the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people in the inhabitants of many cities, and in the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Many people or strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray for the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of a skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that Yahweh is with you.
Yeah, amen. Okay, it says, now that it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days shall come to pass that 10 shall take hold of all languages of the nations, and evil shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, we have heard that God is with you. Well, that actually, the skirt of him, they're actually talking about pulling on the hem of the garment of the titsies of the Jews, saying, we know that you know God. And that's what they're doing right now, literally. We're pulling on the string of the Jew and saying, teach us because you know God, because we've had lies handed to us. So that's what you see at the end. And so here in the finally, if we went back to Isaiah, and in Isaiah, after all things said and done in the book, you all should read Isaiah from start to finish. But in the last of book 66 and 20 and about 22 and 24, this is what it says. For as the new heavens and the earth which I shall make shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, for your seed and your name shall remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of the men that have transgressed against me. For the worm shall not die, and neither shall their flesh be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. That right there is talking about going and keeping the Feast of the Tabernacles, and the nations going up to worship the nations that are left over at the end of things, going up to worship Yeshua, and at the Feast of Tabernacles every year, and to keep the new moons. And so, if the Torah was done away with, why is it that in the 1,000-year reign of Yeshua on earth, would he be saying, well, the Sabbath and the new moons and things are in effect? But anyway, folks, check these things out for yourself and look around, and we're running out of time, so we're going to spend the last of this on what?
The Wichita Homeless Mission.
The Wichita Homeless Mission. Well, what's that?
The Cypress Branch Homeless Outreach Church for the homeless and poor in Wichita, Kansas.
It's a mission church for the homeless and poor in Wichita, Kansas. Yes, absolutely. So what do we do over there?
We take care of anybody that comes to the door mainly, but it's pointed towards poor people and homeless people. We started with homeless, but then everybody just came, so we just, anybody that comes to the door, we don't ask names, questions. If you come in and need something, we have it, we give it.
Right. We got a couple minutes. What happened about 2 weeks ago, we were in the kitchen, and we had a couple of bloody things happen. You don't remember the two men that needed help?
Oh, that was just last week. That was last week right after radio. He talked about doctoring up knife wounds, and then the next day, Friday, when we went to church, he had two guys that were stabbed. One in the back and one got hit in the head with a bat or something and busted his head open.
Right, and it was clean, but it was, you know, how can a wound be clean, right? But it was meaning that he had, on one side of his head, he had a huge bump coming up from the attack, but on the other side of his head was about over a 2-inch split that was to the bone, you know. And so after we got done serving food, I went and helped them. But, you know, the point is that they needed to be stitched together. And in this instance, you know, so I tried to use butterfly stitches, but my butterfly stitches were so old. Just a minute. My butterfly stitches were so old that they just kept falling apart. So I had to use regular sheer Band-Aids to put these guys, both of them, together. And one of them I did talk, the guy with the knife wounds in the back, I did talk him into going to the emergency room to get fixed after I taped him back together.
You might say back to the emergency room because it happened on Thursday night, and they went to the emergency room. And he got 5 stitches, and they made him leave the hospital, didn't give him no way. They knew they were very full aware that they're homeless, and that's the problem with the emergency because they have no insurance, no way to pay, so they just do what they have to do and send them back out. Well, by Friday, by the time he came to our place, all the stitches had came out. The person that stitched him didn't even stitch him correctly, and he still has to pay that bill.
Okay, stop. Now, so you don't have the whole story.
Well, I got the story that they gave me.
Okay, well, let me tell you the rest of the story. The rest of the story is this. They did a good job stitching them up. They stitched them inside and outside and did a great job. It was not the emergency room's fault. What happened was, is you didn't wonder why these two guys were together? Okay, here's
why. Well, I can comment on that, but I won't.
No, I'll tell you while they were together. The reason they were together is the one guy, in fact, he got stabbed because he was defending a girl, and that's how he ended up getting stabbed. Well, then they fixed him all up, sent him out of the emergency room, and then he ran across this other fellow getting into a fight, Joe. And Joe, so he jumped in to help Joe, and when he helped Joe, he ripped his stitches in his back because he was fighting.
Oh.
And so the emergency room, but I agree with you. They do send him back out, whatever. But the point here was, is he did it defending Joe, the other guy that got bashed in the head to stop him from being killed. So then the internal stitches were still mostly there, but the outside stitches were all ripped and gone, and it was gaping open. And I taped it together, and I talked him into going back to the emergency room. Now, Joe, on the other hand, his wound on his head, it was split open. I didn't worry as much about that when I taped it together, and I'm pretty sure it'd stay because, you know, the skin on your head doesn't move around as much like a back wound or elbow.
Well,
or
and it was a different kind of split. They hit him in the head with a bat, and the other one was an actual knife wound.
Well, right, but that split in the head, you could hardly tell the difference between the two wounds.
That knife on the back one looked really deep.
Joe's was to his skull.
Oh.
It's only so deep you can go before you get your skull. And so here's the real point.
Here's the real point.
They had no other place to go. These folks come to us for all kinds of things. We do first aid. We give them food. We give them Bibles, which we're out of Bibles. We need King James Version.
We're out of medical supplies too. We need batteries. Yeah, we could use batteries. They asked for batteries for their phone.
We only got about a minute left.
Do need medical supplies and Bibles.
Large print King James Bibles. We also need your support to pay the bills and to, you know, for food and everything. While donations are starting to go up now that we've got out of summer, we still do need your help. So, anyway, folks, remember, we are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
And remember, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as donations keep us on the air.
You can donate online or over the phone or by mail or check or money order, and you can find out all that information on prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com.
Well, that's more like at. I don't know how you get on, but that's dumb joking. Anyway.
Because you go on the computer and you go on the website, so you're on prophecyhour.com.
I got to go. Say goodbye to the folks.
Goodbye, people. See you week after next week's Food Bank Week.
Okay, folks, remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, 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 be what? A blessing to others. Anyway, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.